title, and the unicorn you rode in on, Silicon Valley episode 26. Content, alas, poor Ehrlich. We knew him, a fellow of infinite jest, of most excellent fancy, he hath borne us on his back 1,000 times, and now? As Jared poetically recounts, Ehrlich's backmanity boondoggle has led to his being unceremoniously bucked off the Pied Piper unicorn, lock dash, stock and board seat wise. Unfortunately, Ehrlich's lavish overspending of backmanity's capital, combined with his personal liability for backmanity's debts, have brought Ehrlich to the brink of bankruptcy. He's so desperate for funding he's willing to sell his Pied Piper shares to dig himself out of his hole. But yet again, the onerous terms? That Richard accepted when he took Russ Hanneman's investment rear their ugly head. Previously, these terms enabled Ravaga to take control of Pied Piper's board and fire Richard. Now Lori uses the terms to block Ehrlich from selling half his shares to Russ for $5 million, and forces Ehrlich to sell all his shares to Ravaga Capital for the exact amount of Ehrlich's debts, $713,000. This leaves Ehrlich with nothing except extreme public ridicule. From Ehrlich's perspective, Lori's powers must appear outrageous and ridiculous, but are they? Well, not exactly. It turns out that many privately held companies have restrictions on the transfers of their shares, and there are a wide variety of possible restrictions. One common restriction is a right of first refusal, ROFR. Typically, a ROFR gives the company first, and the preferred shareholders second, the right to purchase common shares from founders, employees, or other investors at the same price offered by the potential buyer. For example, when Ehrlich got Russ's offer for half of his shares, a ROFR would have given Lori the right to step in and purchase those shares from Ehrlich instead of Russ, provided she paid the same price Russ offered, $5 million. Interestingly, many ROFR agreements also provide for a co-sale right, usually to preferred investors. This means that the shareholders who have co-sale rights could have claimed the right to sell a pro-rata portion of their shares to Russ/Ravaga at the same price offered to Ehrlich for his shares. For example, if a co-sale provision gave them co-sale rights, Richard, Monica, Dinesh, Guilfoyle and Ravaga might have each had a right to sell some of their shares as part of any sale by Ehrlich. This would have reduced the number of shares Ehrlich could sell, but maybe the others would have loaned him the proceeds of their sales to get him through his rough patch? At any rate, clearly Lori didn't match Russ's offer, so we most likely aren't dealing with a ROFR. Instead, as Lori explained, when Russ invested, he obtained a restriction that allowed a majority of Pied Piper's board to vote to block any transfer of the common, restricted stock. Since Ravaga Capital controls Pied Piper's board, Lori simply voted against the sale to Russ. She also made it clear she would block any other sale except to Ravaga, at the price Lori dictated. Ehrlich was left with no choice but to sell to Lori at her rock-bottom price. As unfair as it may seem to Ehrlich, a restriction that prohibits any transfers of stock except with approval of the company, or approval of the preferred shareholders, is usually permissible. For example, Delaware law explicitly permits this type of restriction, as well as ROFR provisions, and provisions requiring holders of restricted stock to transfer their shares back to the company under certain conditions, like if they leave the company. So the restrictions on Ehrlich's stock are not totally wacky, and are likely quite legal. But why are they there? Did Russ insist on the restrictions just so he could further torment Pied Piper and the team? Maybe not, and in fact, Delaware courts generally will not enforce restrictions on stock transfers unless the restrictions were imposed for a reasonable corporate purpose. It turns out that privately held companies, and more specifically, their VC investors, can have a variety of reasonable purposes. For one thing, companies often wish to limit the number of investors so that they stay under the threshold that would force the company to register as a public company with the SEC. Although this threshold has been raised in recent years, it still may be a concern for mature private companies approaching, but not yet ready for IPO. Limiting